Emporia Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
And there was a group of men who were called out. And while Jesus was getting ready to meet his disciples after his resurrection, a group of the guys that were on guard at that tomb came into the city, and they reported themselves to the chief priests. And they told him what had happened. He's not in the tomb anymore. He's gone. And as they assembled together, they thought about it and said, wait a second. This is fixing to turn everything upside down for us. We don't like this. So here's what you're going to say. You're going to say that his disciples came and they stole the body while at night while you were asleep. And if it comes to the governor's ears, don't worry about it. We will win him over and we'll make sure that he believes and you'll be out of trouble. And they offered them a big sum of money to tell a different story. And they took the money, and they did as instructed, the Bible says. They did exactly what they were told, and they told the story the way they were told to tell it, as they were paid to tell it. And then, the Bible says that this story was widely spread among the Jews for days and months, maybe years, and maybe some now. You know what's so fascinating? That some people get paid to tell the wrong story. Nobody's paying you anything. Nobody's paying me to tell the story. When I stand at the pulpit, I stand as a pastor. And yes, I do have a salary. This is my job. But when I step off this pulpit and I go out into the streets, I should be telling the story not because I get paid as a pastor, but because he paid the price for me. And so do you. We need to be telling the story, right? Well, I kind of gave you the conclusion of the sermon here, because the title of the sermon is, Jesus is gone. Now what? Now what? What do we do? Right? So, we know the story. Jesus came from the Father to seek and to save the lost. He came to rescue and to bring glory to his Father through his work. So, what do we do? I want us to see for a moment some of the things that happened after the resurrection. You know, we just celebrated Jesus' resurrection last week. And we don't want it to go like, okay, now we've done that. Big party, celebration, great. Greatest day of the year. The most important day of the year for us. So now let's go back to our routine and normal. Well, we need to be reminded of this constantly, right? What Jesus has done and what he accomplished for us. But what do we do after we've gone through this big event? So what are we supposed to do? Jesus was no longer there to tell them where to go, what to do. Jesus told them to stay there. Don't go anywhere, or at least until I fulfill my promise to you. Because he made some promises, right? And what did his disciples do? I want you to check this out. In Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 52. And I'm going to split this passage in two and look at a couple things with you. Now, check it out. Luke 24, verses 44 through 49, and then we'll do verses 50 to 52. Now, he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Didn't I tell you that all this was going to happen, basically? Now, check this out. I love this. I love this part. Then he opened their minds to understand Scripture. You know, it's funny. Things that happen, you know, like God working in concert. This morning, I was being prayed for in my office. And the man who prayed said, Lord, open the minds of the people that hear your word today. Then Laura comes up here and prays and says, open our minds. Well, guess what? That's exactly what Jesus does. He does that. Then he opened their minds to understand Scripture. And he said to them, okay, now that your minds are open, take this in. It is written that the Messiah, the Christ, would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day. Now, didn't they just experience that? I mean, they just saw it. They lived it. And Jesus is saying, I still want to remind you, open your minds. I want to make sure that your mind is open and receive this and get it in there. Even though you have experienced it, it's been only a few days probably. It's the same day. I want you to understand this. Or even 40 days later, I still want you to understand this. That he would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. And that repentance, check this out, that repentance and forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed based on, in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from high. From on high. So Jesus says all these great words. And what the disciples are like, whoa, okay, yeah. I mean, he opened their minds. He reminds them of Scripture. He reminds them of fulfillment. He reminds them of his work. And he says, but yet, now this needs to be preached. Now this story needs to be told. And you need to be empowered for it. So don't go going anywhere yet. I got you covered. Now look at verses 50 and 52. And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, check it out, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with what? With great joy, and were continually in the temple praising God. So let's check that out. Let's pull out a few things that we can see in this short passage of the Bible. The first thing we need to think about is Jesus said that the preaching of repentance and forgiveness needed to go on to all nations. He said, okay, so I've opened your mind. I worked in your heart. You are ready for this. Are you ready for this? You're ready for this. Let me tell you something. It was written what was going to happen to me. Peter, listen to me. John, listen to me. Everything that I said was supposed to happen and it happened. You've seen it with your own eyes. You are witnesses that the Son of God would be put on a cross and that he would be resurrected on the third day. So that, in turn, now the possibility of repentance and forgiveness for many is there. So you need to go preach that. Jesus opened their minds. You see, that's what happens. Our lives can be turned around in a new direction, from death to life. That's repentance. You see that? Repentance means a change of mind. You know that. I say that almost every Sunday. It's a change of direction in your mind. That's what repentance means. So Jesus had to open their minds to change their minds. Say, your minds aren't going in a new direction. You're going to be different now. You're going to be different. I want you to understand. I want you to understand this. There's a change in your life. Have you been changed by the power of God? Has your mind been filled with the Scripture? Has your mind been changed? Has your mind been opened, changed, and filled by God? I hope so. Each and every one of us and over there watching. Because if God has done that in your life, then you need to do this, what they were doing. You need to get it right. Jesus has left. Now what? Oh, we got plenty to do. See, they had plenty to do. And it's passed on to us to preach repentance, a change of mind. But also, not only repentance, but he says, our debt has been paid in full, therefore no need for late charges, fees, or double payment. Why do I say that? Because the price has been paid. Forgiveness is possible. You see, you need to preach forgiveness. You need to preach. You see, forgiveness has so much depth. It's so deep. Because when you think of forgiveness, you think, okay, so forgiveness is saying somebody says, I'm sorry. They don't want to do the bad things again. They get slapped on the wrist. So they'll say, okay, I forgive you. I won't hold that into account. Yeah, that's fine. That's all that. But I want you to think about this, because forgiveness means deeply inside that you don't have to pay the price. You don't have to pay the price. And what's the price? The price is hell. The price is condemnation. The price is death. And Jesus is saying, you need to go preach forgiveness. Don't just preach to people that if they say sorry, God says okay. Let them know that forgiveness had a price. And that forgiveness meant that somebody had to die on a cross, and Jesus did that for us. That your account has been settled. That Jesus said, it is finished, it is paid for in full. Now, God is not going to hold that account against you. I want you to understand about forgiveness. Once you've been forgiven by the grace of God, your account has been settled. I always joke around that if you get your light bill and you pay it, and then you get the bill again, what are you going to do? Oh, you're going to call Entergy and say, oh, I'm not paying for this. It's already been paid for. Why are you charging me twice? Now, here's the deal. If Jesus already paid for your sins, why would you have to pay for them now? You're like, oh, okay. So I can freely sin and don't have to pay for it? No, that's not what we're saying, of course. What we're saying is that if you sin, you confess your sin, and God is righteous, God is so gracious, God is so loving that he will forgive you because the price has already been paid in full. No late charges, no penalties, no double payment. If Jesus has already paid for it, God would be a really unjust God if he would ask you to pay for something that his son already paid for. Do you think that? Can you think about that? If he sent Jesus to the cross to pay for such a price for you and me, and then he said, ah, Jesus paid, but that's not enough. You're going to have to pay for this too. Really? So that means that God is rejecting his own son's sacrifice. That God is saying, my son's sacrifice was not enough. And God would be so foolish to have sent him in there. If that's the case, then why would you even send him to pay if it's not enough? If I got to pay for it too. Now you know what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to play around with God. What I'm trying to say is God doesn't play around. He's serious. And what he does right. And he sent his son so that we could be forgiven. And if we are forgiven, guess what? You're forgiven. With a capital F. All capitals, let's say. Forgiven. Completely forgiven. See? And then, so what are we supposed to do? So those news need to be taken. They need to be taken everywhere. Everywhere. It says, go preach these to all nations, starting in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, you see that there's a progression of the gospel there. There's a progression. And this is amazing because this is important. I want you to think about this because he says you need to go to the ends of the earth. But first he told the disciples, don't go anywhere yet. Stay here because I'm not finished with y'all. I'm going to send you out, but not yet because I have to fulfill one more promise to you, which is send the Holy Spirit to reside in you. To empower you, right? And we're going to talk about that in a second. But you see, the first thing that needs to happen then is that our minds need to be opened. And our minds are opened only by Christ Jesus. And then we have to take in the scripture and believe. You see that? So we have to preach that forgiveness and repentance. So now we got a task to do. You see, they said, well, go to Jerusalem, Jesus said. So here's what we're going to do. Next year, we're going to organize, that's to give you time, okay? So we're going to organize a trip to go to Israel. How many of you would like to go to Israel? Okay, so we're going to organize a mission trip, and we're going to go to Israel next year. And I'm going to give you a year to get the money together, right? And we're going to go there, we're going to go to Jerusalem, because Jesus said, stay in Jerusalem. So we need to go there to start with, okay? So we need to go to Jerusalem, and then we're going to gather in Jerusalem. We're going to make that our base camp, and from there, we're going to go and preach the gospel. You guys okay with that? That would be lovely. That would be awesome. I want to go to Jerusalem too. But that's not what Jesus is saying to us here necessarily, right? He was telling the disciples, go back home. go back to where we started so that we can move this thing, right? Because I told you from the beginning, this is where it starts. But guess what? It already started 2,000 years ago. We need to go back to our base camp. Where's our base camp? Right here. Right home. With your coworkers, with your neighbors, with this city, with this town, with your own cousins, with your brother, with your father, with your mother. That's where we start. That's our Jerusalem, right? That's where we start. And then we can move on. We can still go to Jerusalem next year. That would be cool. How many? I know some of you raised your hand. I want to go too. So maybe we can think about that. As a matter of fact, somebody is trying to help me cook something up like that so that we can go maybe next year, right? So please be in prayer for that. But we are instructed here, if we take it to ourselves, to start where we are. Start where we are. Start where we are. It starts here, right now. All right? And that's the fulfillment of Scripture that Jesus was talking about. Start right here, and it'll be gone everywhere because it starts with you. He told Israel, it starts with you. He's told the disciples, it starts with you. Now, guess what? You've been saved here, starts here, and it starts with you. Jesus said that the Scriptures will be fulfilled. And one of the things that he means when he says that Scripture will be fulfilled is that the gospel will be preached to all nations. Will be preached. It's not like could be preached, or it's not like should be preached. It's like it will be preached in all nations. So that means that we have a task to complete, because he said it needs to be fulfilled. To all nations. So what are we waiting for? The Holy Spirit is still working. The Holy Spirit is still opening minds. The Holy Spirit is still speaking through God's word. And he's still bringing people to repentance and experiencing forgiveness. So we have a task. Amen? Jesus is left. Well, what do? Now we go do what he said. Now let's think about this for a second. First of all, I said that this is our base camp. So let's get it together. On the second point, let's get it together. That's the second part of the passage that I told you right there. When Jesus left and he was raised up into the heavens, he was carried up. It says that they worshiped him. They returned to Jerusalem with joy, and they were continually in the temple praising God. So this is simple. Let's get together. Let's get together to what? To worship. That's exactly what they did. They worshiped and they kept worshiping. They kept getting together to worship. They were so touched, they were so impacted by the Scriptures, by what Jesus was telling them, the transformation of their lives in Christ Jesus, their hearts, their minds, that they were taken down. They went down and worshiped. That's what we need to be doing in our lifestyle when we get together. The Bible says not to forsake the gathering with the believers. And when we get together, we do what? We worship. We do it together. We ascribe worth. We give God, we give Christ, we give the Spirit the worth. All the way from the bottom of our hearts with the fruit of our lips. We confess him and we praise him for what he's done and who he is. So we do that. We gather and worship. Now, not only that, gather in the temple with joy. They said that they went back to the temple. I want you to think about this. Because the disciples may have not been temple people before Jesus came. They were fishermen, they were working class men, and they were out there doing their duties, and most likely they were not hanging out at the temple all the time. They probably came and performed at the temple and did what they had to do to bring their offering and things like that, but they were living their lives. And now all of a sudden their lives are transformed. And now they're like, oh, you know what? This I like. I'm going to start hanging out at the temple more often. I remember when I got saved, November 10th, 1996. I used to hang out in different places before I came to church. Specifically, I used to hang out at clubs. I used to go to clubs and drag my wife to the clubs, 4 or 5 nights a week. And went to work at 6 o'clock in the morning every day on the dot, no problem. It was a crazy life. I would not miss a party, I tell you that. I was everywhere. That's all I did. And on November 10th, 1996, it all changed. My world got twisted upside down. Jesus came into my life. And you know, one of the things that I told my wife, because I'm serious. Actually, I can tell you that I got saved November 10th. November 11th, I was at a club. Okay? That Saturday night, all night long. Then came to Jesus that morning. And by the grace of God, today, I've never been back. God changed everything that day. And I remember, as a new believer, I used to tell my wife jokingly, I wish I could pack up my bed and take it to church. I did. I'm not joking. I don't want to be the super Christian, super spiritual here, Holy Spirit Junior kind of guy. No. I just wanted to hang out at the church. I did not want to be home. I did not want to be at work. I did not want to be anywhere. I wanted to be at the church. I wanted to be the one to open the church. I wanted to be the one to close the church and stay inside. I was after the pastor like white on rice. I mean, now I feel bad for the man. Because I used to call him every day, where you at? What you doing? Where you at? What you doing? Oh, I'll meet you there. And to make things even better, I guess, I was only working half days. So by 11:30 in the morning, I was ready to go to church every day. And I did. I followed him and followed him and followed him. Poor man. I prayed for him after that. I actually asked him for forgiveness. I'm sorry, man, I did that to you. But it was beautiful. I just wanted to be. And I'm thinking of the disciples. Jesus leaves. Now what do? We're going to the temple. Let's hang out at the temple. That's what they did with joy. That's what they did. They gather at the temple. So it's nice to meet. It's beautiful to meet. It's nice. You know, can you imagine the disciples go, okay, so he's gone. Amen. Nice to meet you, James. It's been great to hang out with you, Matthew, and this and that. Luke, oh, man, you're writing that stuff up. Oh, man, I like that. Just say hello to Peter and this and that, and I'll see you later. Everybody, I'm going back home. Everybody back to their own lives. But no, they did something different. They built a life together, and they did it hanging out at the temple. They couldn't leave each other anymore. They were there for each other, and that's what we need. We talked about this at the beginning of the year, okay? So we're going to continue to do life together. Where do we meet? We meet right here. That's why it's so important that we meet here and worship together and go to the Word together. That's our starting point where we are today. So don't miss it. The disciples didn't miss it. So let's not miss that, okay? So now, okay, so we don't miss that. Now we've been commissioned as witness. That's one thing that Jesus said, that you've been commissioned to go preach and be witnesses, okay? But witnesses of what? Who, me? Yeah, you. All of us. Have you been saved? Have you been redeemed? Have you been rescued? Have you been paid for with a price? Have you been restored? Have you been made new creature in Christ? Then that's you, a witness. That's me, a witness. If you've been transformed by the power of God in Christ, then you are a witness. Whether you like it or not, you have experienced it. You've heard it. And hopefully you've seen it. Then it is time that we testify about what God has done. Nobody knows your story better than you do. And if your story is in Christ, it's no longer your story, it's His story. And you just tell it. A witness does that. Tells what they've seen, tells what they've heard, tells what they've experienced. Has He not done anything for you? This week, I want you to think about that. Maybe you can sit down this week and make a list of all the things that God has done for you since you came to Him. I want you to think, okay, I remember since November 10th, 1996, what has God done for me? Oh my God. What changes had He made in my life? Oh my God. Make a list. Those are the kind of things that you need to be telling people that Jesus is capable of doing in their own lives, because He did what He did on the cross and came out of the grave. That there is power in His work. That there is love in Him. Has He not done anything for you? Well, I think He has. Think about it. You're a witness of what you've seen, what you've heard, what you have experienced by the grace, mercy of God in Christ. If you're not a witness of his power, if you're not a witness of his love, if you're not a witness of his kindness, if you're not a witness of his grace, if you're not a witness of the power of transformation, then what are you a witness of? So let's go tell him. You've been commissioned. You're a witness. Now hold on 1 second, because Jesus said, don't go out there yet. I got something else for you. So there's got to be fulfillment of something still. Don't go anywhere. You stay right here until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, because I will send a spirit to dwell within you. He told him, I will. This is a promise of God for those whose minds have been opened and changed in a new direction. Those who have taken the scripture and believed it wholeheartedly and now are in Christ Jesus. Those who have experienced life because of their death and resurrection, spiritually speaking, in Christ. You see, two things that he promised, very simple, when he was saying, I will send the Holy Spirit. Number one, he was promising his presence. He was promising his presence. Jesus promised his presence. And this is not a new promise. This is not something that's new. I want you to think about this, okay? I want you to see this progression here for a second. In Exodus chapter 33 and verse 14, God says, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. You know when this happened? This happened around 1,700 years before Christ. 1,700 years before Christ. You know what that means? If we're about 2,000 years after Christ, plus 1,700, that's 3,700 years ago, God promised his people, I'm coming with you. My presence will be with you. This is an old promise that you can count on and that he has kept. How do I know this? Because as I read scripture, I see that 1,000 years later, after he promised his presence to the people of Israel while they were in Egypt captive and he was about to take them out with his mighty arm, he tells them again through the prophet Isaiah, he who put his Holy Spirit in the midst of them, who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make himself an everlasting name. Isaiah reminds him, guess what? He's the one that promised to go with you 1,000 years before me, and I'm telling you 1,000 years later, he's still there. Wow. So, but we keep going with this procession and this progression. 1,700 years before Christ, he tells him in Egypt. Then Isaiah reminds him 1,000 years later. And then you come 200 years later after that, about 500 before Christ. And Ezekiel wrote three times in his book. Three times he wrote, I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit within you and you will come to life. I will do that. Here's a promise for you. God is saying, you repent and you believe. Trust me, I will give you my spirit and you will also come to life. You see, what I was living before, that wasn't life. This is life. It's amazing. But it doesn't stop there. 200 years after that, God spoken through Ezekiel. Then he speaks again. And he says about the year 350 or so through Joel, the prophet Joel. God said he would pour out his spirit on all flesh, meaning not all of Israel alone, but also outside of the borders of Israel. And this is something that they couldn't believe. Wait a second, we are his chosen people. Remember at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out and people that weren't even Jewish later on were being saved and the Spirit came upon them. And the Jewish were like, no, this is impossible. The Holy Spirit is for us, not for them. They're outside of us. And God is saying, no, I started with you, but it's going to go on to them. And guess what? That's how we got it. That's how we're here. And you think about that, then after Joel preaches that, 350 years later, Jesus comes into the picture. And what does Jesus say? Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I'm anointed to preach the gospel. And then he says, I'm going to give you that Spirit. For what? So that you can go preach the gospel. I'm going to send the Spirit, the promise of my Father upon you, so that you can also preach the gospel. That's the promise. And guess what happens shortly? Jesus leaves, and a few days later, bam, here comes the Spirit. The Spirit comes on the church, on those believers that were praying, and the Holy Spirit endows them with the power from above. And he says, what? You will be my witnesses again. So today, 3,700 years after the promise in the Exodus, the same promise still is available to those who repent and believe. His presence, I will be with you. But he also promised one thing, his power, because with his presence comes his power. His presence, his power. You remember that day when you read it? You're a witness because you've read it and you believed it, hopefully. What happened at Pentecost? You see, the Spirit comes and transforms lives. And you probably experienced it too. You see, just like I experienced it on November 10th, 1996, you probably experienced it another year, another date, before me or after me, it doesn't matter. But it should have hit you like a ton of bricks. It should have changed you. It should make you different. Because when the Holy Spirit invades a heart, when the fullness of his power and his presence takes over you, you are brought to life. Your dead soul comes to life. Your spiritual heart starts beating again. You go from dead sinner to living saint. Amen? You see, you're transformed as a new creature in Christ. If the Spirit of the Lord is within you, if the promise of his presence has been fulfilled in your own life, you have also been anointed by the Spirit to go preach, to proclaim, and to testify, to be a witness of his goodness, to speak the truth in love, to tell everyone about Christ and what he's done in your life, to tell your story of grace, his grace. You know the story. What is it that you're supposed to be witnessing about? Well, simple. God the Father sent his Son, and his Son came and became flesh. God in the flesh, the Lamb of God who takes the sin of the world, the only begotten Son of God who came to show us the Father and came to seek what was lost, which is you and me, who was crucified, taking the punishment for our sins, the punishment that you and I deserved, to set us free from condemnation, set us free from hell, set us free from shame, set us free from guilt, paying the price in full for you and me. You know that story, so why not tell it a little bit more often? You've been given the power, you've been given the story, you've been given the presence, you've been given everything. See, Jesus, all of that, he did, claiming the victory over sin, death, and giving us a new life. Jesus has conquered, so we're more than overcomers because he overcame. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow, right? You see, and because he lives within you, because he's fulfilled the promise in you and me, if we've believed then, we need to be good witnesses. We have his presence. We have his power. We have his story. So let us witness. You see, that's why we're still here. If you ever wonder, why are we still here? It's because there's people who need to hear.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.